Good evening, everybody. Welcome to On the Terraces podcast. It's me, Arjun, here.
And me, Aaron.
How is everyone doing? Thank you. Firstly, I wanted to say thank you very much to everyone who has followed us at the OTT pod. We are on Twitter and we're on Instagram. Please give us a follow, give us a like. We will be doing a lot more interaction with you guys. From next week, we're going to be having a few giveaways coming up, and we want to hear from you guys. So please give us a follow on the Twitter and Instagram page. That's at the OTT pod. Right, this week we've been away for a little week, haven't we, Aaron? How have you been?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad.
How are Newcastle going?
Just as well as Liverpool, to be honest.
Well, I support Salford City now, so...
Salford City.
It's the first team that came to my head. I can't support Liverpool.
Just as well, I'm a Horsham season ticket holder.
Yes, that you are. Right, number one topic. I think there's only one place we can start here. Can we all stand up and salute Sir Steven Gerrard? Thank you very much. Rangers, the champions of Scottish football once again. I can't believe what's happened up there, Aaron.
Yeah, it's amazing. What has it been, 10 years since they last won the title?
10 years,
they,
yeah.
Spent a few years out of the top flight, you know, due to, a few issues.
A few issues. I think they've been treated disgustingly. This is my personal opinion on it, Aaron. I don't think they deserve to have that. I think they're made an example of.
Yeah, you're right. They did. They were made an example of. I mean, they should have been relegated maybe one division, not three.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. So go on. You were saying, sorry.
Well, yeah. Let's look at their what they've done this season. You know, 32 games unbeaten. But I think the most remarkable stat when I was looking at what they've done, they've only conceded nine goals. Goals in 32 games.
I mean, that is, I mean, that's just in the league, isn't it?
Just in the league.
And they scored that in Europe. They leaked those goals in two legs, one in Europe.
Exactly, but they're still doing well in Europe, aren't they?
Absolutely.
But it's, you know... Scottish football gets a lot of bad press, you know. Say it's a, you know, Mickey Mouse league. There's only two teams up there, but at the end of the day, you've got to go and win it. You still got to go and win the league. You still got to do it over a 38 game season or however many games there are in the Scottish Premiership. And Celtic haven't been at the races this season, but Rangers have been absolutely fantastic.
I think what we have here is very much. A footballing team on the decline, with Celtic, a little bit like Liverpool's this year, as champions. Both of them were champions last year, playing the best football in their division. Obviously, the leagues are a little bit different. They're not even a little bit different. They are different. But yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to go to Kilmarnock away on a Tuesday night.
Not at all.
I am not one for someone to say the Scottish football is different.
It's different for sure, yeah. Absolutely.
But it's not, I wouldn't say it's completely easier than people make out. Of course the standard's different. But the Premier League standard is different to the Spanish standard. German standard. That doesn't make them any lesser leagues by a complete mile. It's just the way it is.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. You know, we're in an era where we have a lot of leagues that are different in their types of style, their pace, how football is played, and we should appreciate that. We shouldn't go, oh, Scottish football's rubbish. We shouldn't go, Championship football's rubbish. Bundesliga's rubbish. Serie A's too slow. We should just appreciate what we have.
We need to appreciate that other leagues have different tempos, the way they play different. Yeah. And that's what makes Champions League what it is. But we're striving off topic here. Yeah. I wanted to discuss, now obviously anyone who knows me, you know me very well, I think. Steven Gerrard, an absolute hero of mine. Absolute hero of mine. But I'm going to really steer clear from bum licking him, as it were, because of his being the Liverpool's best ever captain. Because we're not here to discuss that. If we wanted that, I'd need more than 45 minutes. But I do want to discuss his credentials as a manager. I think this is his third year in charge now. I'd be quite intrigued. I don't know if you've got in your notes, but I'd be quite intrigued to know what positions he finished in the first season. I think it was third. I think it was third, second, and third. I think he's gone that way. He brought Rangers back into the first division, didn't he, Steven Gerrard?
No, they're already there.
Ali McCoy, that's it. So, yes.
So, Rangers have actually been back quite a number of years, but haven't really competed.
Just because of
Celtic's dominance, you know, they've had a great squad.
They've got a lot of money, Celtic.
Yeah, as you said, you know, they're now on a squad on the decline. You know, the likes of McGregor, Brown, you know, they've been there a long time. They haven't really pumped the money in and the squad hasn't improved.
Of course. But
Rangers have.
But not only Rangers. I mean, I thought it was an interesting signing when he took Gary Mack with him as his number two. Gary McAllister, for people who don't know, very good footballer, not just because of his Liverpool ties. He used to play for Coventry, he used to play for Villa. He was a fantastic midfielder. He was an old school midfielder who would get his foot stuck in. But the way he would play, I mean, the way he played football, I always thought he could have been German, the way he played football. But to have him on his right side, and for people who don't know, Gary McAllister was brought in specifically at Liverpool by Phil Thompson and the late Gerard Houllier. And he was there to show Gerard how you don't have to kill everyone on the football pitch, to calm him down, use your brain. So to have him next to him there to win this, I think was a massive, massive deal, especially with his Gary McAllister being Scottish.
Yeah,
is Steven Gerrard an elite manager now? He's won the league title with an elite club. I would put the Rangers in the elite club status, just like Celtic, just like United, Liverpool, because they've all won Europe. They've all been in Europe. I don't know if Rangers have won the European Cup before. Aberdeen's an elite club. Forest, they're all big. They're all big clubs, elite clubs. So, is Steven Gerrard an elite manager? What are your thoughts there?
Well, he's certainly done a very good job. I mean, just looking at their finishes, he finished second with them in his first season.
Yeah.
He finished second last season, but obviously the season was curtailed because of COVID. They didn't resume the season. So, you know, I'm not sure how far behind they were then, but, you know, second twice.
I know last year it wasn't. They were annoyed that the league got. I know they were annoyed and there was a big uproar about that.
Yeah.
They wanted to carry it on. Yeah. But I personally don't. I think it would have been a step too far for them to win it last year.
Yeah, absolutely. But this year, you know, they've blown away. And
blown it away.
You've just got to look at the way that they play. You know, Steven Gerrard has completely overturned their style of football.
Absolutely.
You know, they play some really good stuff, move the ball quickly, pass out from the back. You know, I think I watched the game on Saturday and the goalkeeper never really kicked the ball long. He's always rolled it out, kicked it short. They always
what does that show you, Aaron? If you look back at his goalkeepers, Westerveld. Dudek didn't really kick the ball out that far. Pepe Reina threw a ball further than he could kick a ball. The quick way he used to throw the ball, get teams off the attack. So Steven Gerrard is implementing some of his Liverpool advertising. You can see Steven Gerrard is a master of the European game. what he's doing in Europe is for me, that's more impressive, what he's doing in Europa League.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's impressive because, you know, Scottish teams in recent history haven't got a good record in Europe. So what he's doing is fantastic. But what I do want to say is, yes, I think he's an elite manager. You know, he's put his own spin on Rangers. They're playing some great football. And yeah, I think for me, I think he needs to be there next season because a good team is one that wins the league. A great team is one that defends it. And I think, yeah, this squad can defend the title. And I think it will be great for Gerrard to have that experience of defending a title. I don't think it's time for him to you know, look elsewhere just yet.
I think I know what you're leading on to, Mr. Lacani.
Are you asking
me if Steven Gerrard could potentially be going to Liverpool next year or the year after? Would he be ready if the job is available this year? Is that a question I can hear?
Let me start off right. I don't think he's ready just yet. But I don't think they should get rid of Klopp. I think, you know, Klopp deserves to put this right.
He
deserves to put this right because he has won in the last 2 years. He's won 6 trophies. You know, Liverpool don't become a bad team overnight. They've had there's a lot of interesting factors, but obviously, you know, we'll go back to Rangers because that's what we're talking about. But
I understand what you're saying. I really understand what you're saying. And it is a what are you drinking?
A pale ale from the Freedom Brewery. So if Freedom Brewery wants to sponsor us, you know where we are.
I was going to have a beer today. We need to discuss this. Do people want to see me having a beer? I think they've seen enough of that. But no, moving forward, having Steven Gerrard in the way, I think he wins Europa League this year, he's ready to become the Liverpool manager. I wouldn't want to get rid of Klopp. Let's get that out there. Yeah, I don't want Klopp to go now. I want the season to be over. If I'm honest, now I'm done with football for a little while. Because of our personal support, and it's only going one way for Liverpool this season in the league. Steven Gerrard, whatever he does now, will be lauded a Scottish legend for his triumph at Rangers. I think he should at least stay one more season there to defend that title, because Celtic will be back.
Absolutely, they will be back.
Who gets the Celtic job, Aaron? Quickly.
I think, if I was the Celtic chairman, and you look at who's available, I would give it to Eddie Howe.
I would give it to Eddie Howe as well. However, I don't think Eddie Howe will be there next year. I think Eddie Howe will be at Selhurst Park next year.
That's not a bad shout. Let's talk about that in a little while.
Are we putting a bet on that?
We'll put a bet on it.
£10 that Eddie Howe will be at Selhurst Park next year. Done. Right. Perfect.
Okay. Right.
The whole of the podcast now into our bets.
Can we, before we move on, can we talk about the fans outside Ibrox on there? Absolute scenes and you know, COVID aside, you know, yes, they've broken lockdown laws and all of that. It was just nice to see some sort of football atmosphere, that kind of thing that we've all been missing these last 12 months.
I agree. Stupid of them to go. As we both know, we've had personal loss here with COVID in our family. But then, you know, we've had personal pain. Liverpool won the league. I chose not to go when Liverpool won the league. Because of that, our cousin decided to go. You know, it's different people, different opinions when it comes to safety, and it's the number one paramount. However, you put that aside, You couldn't haven't won that they for the journey that Rangers have been on. They've had to see their team be relegated due to fraud and to everything else. And I was really glad the fans did go.
Yeah, I mean that those emotions were 10 years in the making.
Absolutely. You see these chaps who spend their money on Rangers TV. They spend their season ticket money, and they couldn't even go this year.
But
there has to be some sort of decision being made. Do they go every week to see their team, to see them in, to see them come in?
Yeah.
I don't think they do. So you let it go. It's a slap on the wrist. Naughty, naughty. You move on. Rangers, champions, congratulations. Right.
Also, before we move on, if the policeman that got knocked over by Steven Gerrard's listening, please let us know you're all right, mate.
It wasn't about Steven Gerrard. He was going backwards and he fell.
I know he did, but it is hilarious, wasn't it?
It was so funny. It was very funny. But yes, all aside, police officer, Mr. PC Plod up in Scotland, please make sure you let us know you're all right.
Yeah,
if you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the OTT Pod, let us know you're right. Rangers, Steven Gerrard, we salute you. Right, we move on. Topic two, Spurs and Gareth Bale. Now, the reason I chose this topic, because our last podcast, we were saying how Dele Alli and Bale should be playing. They're world-class players. So
what does that show you, Arch?
What
does that show you?
We would like to take the credit.
Mourinho listens to the podcast, mate.
Me and Aaron would like to take the credit here.
We told you. You heard it here first. You start Gareth Bale, you win games, he scores goals. There we go.
What goals has he scored? He's scored 5-4 now, I believe, in the league. I think it's 8 overall.
Yeah, and that's to me, that's not the impressive thing. The impressive thing is that he looks sharp.
He looks
fit and he looks sharp.
He's very slow on FIFA. Played him on FIFA.
Yeah. Don't buy him on FIFA. He's 76, isn't he, or something stupid like that?
He's 82, but his pace is awful. So I've had to stick him in behind Kane, but we move on. I'm going to play you after. I'll show you. I'll beat you. Bale looks sharp. Looks really sharp. Dele Alli looks sharp. That four, Kane, Son, Alli in behind now. He's playing in behind again. So them two are clicking again. Then you have Bale there. So you have Bale there and you have Son there. It could be Moura one day and Son behind Harry Kane. It is an absolute... Jose Mourinho, if he can keep... I think we're seeing a glimpse of next year.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, their issues lie in defence. We know that. We talked about that last podcast. And the depth in central midfield behind those front four is a little bit is affecting them. There's no consistency.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's a depth. I think I think there's Sissoko, there's Lo Celso, there's Ndombele, there's
Højbjerg.
There's Eric Dyer, who is actually he's a central defensive midfielder.
So I actually think he's a better midfielder than he is centre back.
I don't know why Sanchez and Olmoro can't play together in the back.
Yeah,
they're great again. They're great on FIFA.
Didn't they play together at Ajax? They might have been there two different times. I think they did.
I think they might have done. I don't know. I think what we need, what Spurs need to work out, and we as fans need to work out, do we think that Spurs are going to always just have that mental issue that they have named Spursy? Will they always be Spursy? And some teams have got a mental block. It's taken Everton 25 years, 1999. So what? It's taken them 22 years to win at Anfield. That's a mental issue. I'll touch on it later on. But I think Manchester City have a mental issue playing at home against United at the moment. That's another one.
But also, as well, with Leicester, you know, second half of the season, they always tend to drop off.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought that was heading that way until the last minute winner at Brighton this weekend.
They needed that massively.
We haven't done the scores, Aaron, for the weekend. We haven't done the scores. Why did we do the scores? My sister actually said that you sound like that whilst on this podcast.
Only one.
Well, why don't we do the scores? Why don't we do the scores like that, Aaron? Why don't we
let's relive our childhood a little bit here.
Right, okay. Let's get the scores on the doors. Right. So
are we talking about this weekend, yep?
Sorry?
So I've got the scores here if you want me to read them out.
Go on, read them out. That's what I was getting up. Go on.
Burnley 1, Arsenal.
Okay,
1.
We can't do it for the whole thing. No, right, so we have a Burnley versus Arsenal 1-1.
Yeah. Did you see Burnley's goal?
I tell you what, if we're gonna touch upon that game quickly, Eric Peters, what a cameo.
I thought it was funny when Charlie Taylor got injured and Eric Peters took his tracksuit off. And then Taylor's like, no, I'm fine. So they sat him back down. And they should have brought him on earlier, shouldn't they?
He was all over the place, wasn't he? He played well, I thought, as well. Congratulations to Burnley. That's a good result at home to Arsenal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they needed that point. Sheffield United 0, Southampton 2. Good for Southampton to end their 13-match winless run. Because at a point, it looked like they were pushing top four, didn't they? The way they were playing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But they've just been on this dreadful run. Sheffield United at home as well, they'll be disappointed. But it looks like the writing's on the wall for them, doesn't it?
Yeah, they've gone.
A big clash in the Midlands. Aston Villa versus Wolves ended 0-0.
Derby games are boring, aren't they?
Yeah, it's you would have thought before the weekend that would have been quite a tasty game, but it didn't turn out.
Wolves played Villa on a lunchtime. It was when my brother-in-law actually split his finger. And he's a Tottenham fan, so if you're listening, hello Ditesh, you Spursy man. That game was 0-0. I watched that in a car park of Epsom Hospital, and I said to myself, never again. So I didn't watch Villa versus Wolves. I did not watch because I put a bet on that it'd be 0-0, and that came in. So
happy days, mate. Brighton 1, Leicester 2. We touched on it. That's great last minute.
Good game.
Yeah, great last minute winner for Leicester. They really needed that, didn't they?
Just wanted to have a little shout out to my main man, Adam Lallana. Well done, lad. Lovely to see you score. Lovely to see more of those quarters turn. I hope you're well, mate.
Yeah, I hope he's not injured.
He's done plenty, playing well.
He's playing well. We move on to yesterday's. West Brom 0, Newcastle 0.
We're going to touch on that next. After our next topic.
So, I mean, you see that I'm not talking about the game because there's actually nothing to talk about. Nothing happened.
Nothing to talk about, really. But we have got something to talk about.
Yeah, we do, yeah. Liverpool 0, Fulham 1.
No. What was the 4:30 kickoff? Sorry, mate. No one wants to know about that one.
The Manchester derby, Man City 0, Man United 2. The underdogs won.
Yeah, they did. But, again, we'll discuss that later on in the show.
Tottenham 4, Crystal Palace 1.
Yeah, earlier on today.
Yeah, Chelsea beat Everton 2-0. Currently a live score, but obviously you guys who will listen to this tomorrow, it won't be live then. But West Ham 2, Leeds United 0.
I think everyone is aware, once they listen to this, it will not be live.
West Ham 2, Leeds United 0. So, yeah, Leeds' dreadful run. Well, very inconsistent run. Continues and West Ham, they're having a fantastic season, aren't they?
Well, it's going to be annoying for them when they get fourth and we win the Champions League and they won't get into the Champions League. We move on to topic three today. Aaron, is it the end? Is it a natural end for Roy Hodgson at Crystal Palace? Because
I didn't have enough space, mate.
Okay, no problem. Because Roy, Let's talk about Roy. Roy. I know he doesn't like being called Roy, so we're going to call him Roy. Uncle Roy. Everyone likes Roy Hodgson. Anyone, even Liverpool fans now like him. We can't begrudge him, man. We know what he did at Liverpool. But he's actually not a bad manager. He's done well in his career. And he's done very well at Palace.
He's a very good manager, and he has done well. You've got to look at what he's been dealt with at Palace. You know, he hasn't been dealt with a lot of money. You know, they're kind of like whatever they get in with player sales, they kind of spend. You know, some of the signings they've made. You know, Alexander Sorloth, for example, striker.
Yeah.
Didn't play too well. So, you know, he's done well with what he's got. He tries to get the best out of his squad, and he's good at doing that. Is it the end for him? I think what you're seeing is, this is a natural end, because he's kind of got he's got the best out of his team before, but he's not doing that now. And a lot of this team are now going to be split up because of contracts coming to an end. You know, Hodgson's contract's coming to an end, and I don't think they will renew it.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, I think you're right. I think this could be the natural end, and it's probably the right time for Palace to plan for the future and go, right, how do we get to the next level? Well, yeah, you know, Hodgson is the guy that's kept us from getting relegated, but now can we entice someone like Eddie Howe or someone similar to maybe get us to try and, you know, go for top 10?
So, I mean, look, let's think about this. Let's think about this, right? I know a lot of Eagles. Big up to you, Eagles, Super Eagles, in the Selhurst area. Let's have a little look at what we think is going on here at the Palace. He's out of contract. If he was going to be staying on, he would have signed on by now. I think that. What do you think? He would have signed on by now. They wouldn't mess around, would they? Unless they're waiting for the complete clarification and security of, they're safe. Because mathematically, they're not safe.
Yeah, but I think they are.
I think they are. Where are they in the league? Did you just say?
They are 13th. They're on 34 points. So, you know, the magic 40 mark is not too far away. So they'd have to lose their last 10 games to have any chance of getting relegated, I would suspect.
Well, if Newcastle, that is, I see you, if Newcastle win two games, let's say the next two, yeah, Aaron? Burnley draw and win the next two. So they draw one, win one. Southampton lose one and win one. Yeah?
Yeah.
And Palace lose their next two. They would be... And Brighton and Brighton and Fulham winning their next two. They'd be right in it.
Anything can happen. And it'd be foolish for us to say, no, it's not going to happen or anything like that, because this is the Premier League. You know, the Premier League throws drama when you don't think it's going to happen, right? You know, right. Anything can happen in the Premier League.
Absolutely. Right, I'm actually getting up Fulham's next fixture. And do you know what that is, Aaron?
Fulham's next fixture.
No, not Fulham, Palace. Next four, right. Palace's next four games. Can I tell you them, Aaron?
Go for it, mate. They have
West Brom this weekend. They then have Everton away. We're chasing top four for the first time in however long for Everton. It's a massive game. And that's away. They then have Chelsea at home, a London derby.
Against a rejuvenated Chelsea side as well.
Playing great football. He's not lost yet. Tuchel's not lost, lost
Has
yet.
He's not lost yet.
He's not lost yet. He's won 11 in a row. 11. He's won 11.
He's been 11. There for 11 games already.
I believe so. I think someone could quote me on that. It's either 9 or 11.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair play to him.
I think so. Right, this is their next five, actually. So what did I say? West Brom at home. Everton away. Chelsea at home. Following weekend. Southampton away. What did I just say? Southampton. Right, Leicester at home. Their next five games are terrifying. If I was a Palace fan, I would be terrified.
As a Newcastle fan, that's maybe quite happy, to be fair.
I would be over the moon.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's a lot more drama to come. And Crystal Palace could get sucked in, yeah. But what their problem is this season is they're very inconsistent, very inconsistent. One week, you know, I mean, yeah, exactly. And I think that is quite a theme throughout most teams actually this season, and it stems from there not being a pre-season. You know, a lot of these players are tired. It leads to being inconsistent performances. You know, the only real consistent team in the league in the last, you know, few months has been Man City, and they lost on Sunday. So, you know, it's anything's going to happen in these next 2 months or so.
Like, we're going to do a feature at the end of this session, just like we do at the end of every podcast. If you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the OTT Pod, if you noticed, I'm doing a lot more advertising this week. And I will continue to do so. But we're going to do a feature where we're going to do top four. Who's going to get top four and top three? As it changes every week, we're going to predict every week. I think I know who my bottom three are. So we'll have a little look. Let's move on now. Roy, if you do leave at the end of the season, from everyone here at the on the Terraces podcast, great work. And I hope you do continue to have at least one more job in football, because the Premier League's not much without Roy Hodgson.
We'll have you at St James's. We'll have you at St James's, mate.
Would you have Roy Hodgson? That's a serious question. Would you have him?
I'll take anyone at the moment. Take anyone.
Anyone. Blimey. Okay.
We'll come on to that now. We'll come on to that now.
Well, I'm available.
No, not you, mate.
So not anyone then. Right, relegation battle. Relegation battle. Do we think West Brom and Sheffield United have too much to do? Is that a resounding yes, or is that a no? I think it's a resounding yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think West Brom missed a trick yesterday. They should have. I mean, they tried. It was a poor game against Newcastle yesterday. But if they win that game, you know, they close the gap to Newcastle. They get a bit of spring in their step, and it's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
As matches come and go, and they're not picking up these wins, it's getting increasingly harder. And I think yes, they have got too much to do. I don't see the quality in the squad to have that kind of run to pick up two or three, four wins. I don't see that.
No, nor do I. I do agree. There, West Brom are on 18 points. Brighton and Fulham are on 26. Newcastle on 27. I'm going to go up to Palace because we've discussed that. Burnley are at 30, at 15th. Southampton are 33 with a game in hand. But also Brighton and Newcastle have games in hand as well. And then you have 13th. You have Crystal Palace. What am I talking about? You have West Brom still at 19th. So, yeah, I think Sheffield United have gone. It's been great to having you. You've been entertaining, but you need a bit of a rebuild job. If you're going to go and spend 27 million on Ryan, or however much it was, on Ryan Brewster, you've got to give your head a wobble.
Yeah, but they were investing for their promotion push next season.
Yeah, he would fly championship. But I think that ruins players. That ruins players. Sort of look at Dom Solanke doing what? Well in championship. It doesn't ruin players, sorry, because it's a hard league. It's a hard league and they're talented footballers. But it doesn't give them that lift into... Whereas I hate to say this, and I do hate to say this, but United have got it right in that sense. They bring on people like Mason Greenwood. Even Arsenal at the moment are doing it. You know, they've got their meal. You got, was it M. Rowe Smith?
Yeah.
Smith Rowe? Yeah, the Croydon De Bruyne. Never seen him in my uncle's shop, but yeah, the Croydon, the De Bruyne. yeah, I mean, I think it's a shame for Brewster because he was a good footballer. We have Harvey Elliott out on Blackburn at the moment. He's a Liverpool Academy player. So,
do you think? Let me put this to you.
Sure.
The way Liverpool are playing at the moment, you know, they're struggling to get goals. They're struggling in the front three.
Yeah.
Do you think if Rhian Brewster's still in Liverpool, he plays at the moment?
No.
No?
Absolutely not, no.
You wouldn't give the youngster a chance in a team like this at the moment?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't, no. Our front three with now Jota coming back, no, I wouldn't. That's the answer.
Yeah, fair enough. He's not there anymore, so you will never.
If Ricky Lambert was there, I'd have him playing. No, I don't, if I'm honest. Relegation. So Brighton and Newcastle have been sucked in. Newcastle was sucked in already. But Brighton, everyone keeps saying, what did I say in the last episode?
Yeah. Graham
Potter, a great manager, but, you know, everyone is saying Brighton play great football. They're so unlucky. And to be fair, he's got a philosophy. I heard on TalkSport the other day, he had an interview with, I think it might have been Jim White or someone. No, actually, it was funny because it was with Simon Jordan and Jim White. Obviously, Simon Jordan being Palace through and through. And he had a discussion with Graham Potter, and they asked him about having the tag from Pep Guardiola saying, best British coach, young coach. Well, if he gets relegated, he can't be the best British young coach. I'm sorry. You have to go by the football he's playing. Football, it may be nice on the eye, but you know, it's a bloody relegation battle.
Yeah, well, if you look at their results, right? So I've looked at their results from on the 13th of December, they lost to Leicester 3-0. Okay.
On the
13th of December. Yeah.
Right.
Since then, all of their games they have played.
Yeah.
In the couple of they've won, the ones they've lost, and obviously, you know, those games have only been decided by one goal. So they're only losing by one goal or winning by one goal. It's very tight.
And there is a lot of unluck and luck to play a part. There is a lot of luck to play a part. And they have been unlucky. You can't deny that. They have been. I've watched a lot of Brighton this year.
Yeah.
They have been unlucky. But when to a point, if you're losing by one goal every week, most weeks, then...
Well, didn't they get done by VAR last week?
They got done against United as well, with VAR.
Was it them who had that free kick?
Yeah, absolutely. That was
the worst decision.
It was Lee Mason, wasn't it?
Lee Mason was, yeah.
Lee Mason got stripped of being the fourth official at the Liverpool match the following week at Sheffield United, where we won.
Well, no, apparently he's injured, mate.
Yeah. Now, I think do people want to hear us talk about the ref situation? Do you want us to have that and VAR and all that? Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the OTT Pod. Write in the comment when we release this. Would you like to hear us talk about referees, VAR, and the situation at the PMGOL? Well, PMOGL, whatever it's called, we can discuss that even with the death threats. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the OTT Pod, and write in the comments, and we will have a discussion on that. So yeah, so Brighton are in a battle.
Can we talk about Newcastle now?
Yeah, absolutely. What now? I'm actually still quite unsure about what's gone on. So I'm going to read this. I want to know why has Matt Ritchie got his knickers in a twist?
Right, so it all stems from the game last week against Wolves.
Which you played well. You played well. Let's just build.
We should have won that game. Really, we should have won that game.
You played really well. Yeah, you should have won the game. Yeah, absolutely. 1-0 in the end.
Yeah, we just we got done for not being clinical enough. We had enough chances. Anyway, so Matt Ritchie comes on. And apparently he's got some instructions for Jacob Murphy to move to right wing back and Hayden to go from centre midfield to being the third centre back. So basically shutting up shop to win the game 1-0. What happens is he runs onto the field and he shouts at Hayden to get to centre back, but he doesn't have enough time to tell Jacob Murphy that you're now right wing back because Jonjo Shelvey takes a quick free kick. And before you know it, the ball's in play. So the ball goes forward. They ended up losing it. The ball goes down the right-hand side of the pitch. Ball comes into the box. And I can't remember who the scorer is, but it's basically a free header. And they score a goal. And then you see Bruce and that kind of pointing and shouting on the sidelines because, obviously, people were out of position. Jacob Murphy was actually, he was meant to be right wing back, was actually the most advanced player. But it wasn't his fault because he didn't get told. And if you look at the replays, Joe Willock, who's marking the guy who scored, he doesn't track back. So actually, it's none of the people's fault that Matt Ritchie should have given instructions to. Joe Willock just was quite lazy tracking back. Anyway, so we draw the game 1-1, and then Steve Bruce comes out, and in his post-match interview, he goes, the goal's Matt Ritchie's fault because he didn't give the instructions to the players. And he basically calls out Matt Ritchie in his interview.
So what's happened at the training ground? It
transpires that Matt Ritchie's gone home.
Right.
And rang up Bruce. That night, rang up Bruce going, you know, let's have it out. Why are you calling me out? Bruce isn't interested, said we'll talk about it on training on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is what I've read. You know, I'm not in the know or anything like that. Matt Ritchie hasn't rang me and told me this. This is what's out there. and then comes to Tuesday and the players are on the pitch. And Steve Agnew, who is the assistant manager, comes out onto the pitch because all the managers are in the manager's office with Steve Bruce and all that. Comes out onto the pitch and goes, Bruce will see you now. And Richie goes, no, I'm not interested. I don't want to speak to that coward.
Oh, wow.
Gets back to Bruce. Yeah. Bruce comes out onto the training ground, absolutely fuming, and starts shoulder barging Matt Ritchie. Like, so makes like physical contact with him.
Look, I'm going to interrupt here. This smells and stinks of a team that they're so worried about going down. They're not playing for each other. They're arguing with one another. They're causing havoc with each other now. It's, if anyone's gonna listen, compare them to Fulham.
Yeah, from my point of view, right? He's lost. Bruce has lost the dressing room, right?
Yeah, of course he has.
He's lost the dressing room. They're not playing for him, right? But what it comes down to is man management. If we compare what Steve Bruce says before a game and or even after a game,
yeah,
or what Scott Parker says, Steve Bruce is like, it's a tough game, West Brom are fighting for their lives, you know, it's going to be a tough game, we might not win, blah, 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 that kind of thing.
Yeah. You
know? Scott Parker goes to Liverpool and goes, you know, we're playing well, and he inspires his players that he's got the mentality that we can go there and win. Steve Bruce does not instill that. He's not that type of manager.
Well, where did Scott Parker play in his career? Where did he play in his career?
He played at Newcastle, West Ham, Tottenham, Chelsea.
Won the league with Chelsea, didn't he?
Yeah, Charlton.
So he didn't win the league with Charlton.
No. But that's, I'm just saying what way he's played.
No, okay. So what position did he play? He played in an advanced role in midfield.
Centre mid, yeah.
Where did Steve Bruce play? That's where I'm getting at.
Centre back.
It's what I'm getting at. It's what I've told you from the beginning. Steve Bruce will always have the defensive mindset. Let's keep what we've got. What we've got is nothing right now. We've got nothing. So we're defending what we've got.
He needs to go. He needs to go.
Callum, Callum Wilson is out injured, yeah? He doesn't have the faith in anyone else to get you the goals. So he's setting you up to fail already. That's my opinion.
What angers me, and we're not going to spend too much time on this, but from the game yesterday, yeah. And you know, there's not much to talk about, but Steve Bruce made his best tactical move in his time as Newcastle manager yesterday, yeah. When he took off Jeff Hendrick, who was having no impact on the game, and he hasn't really had much impact on the season at all, right? He doesn't really bring much. But anyway, he takes off Jeff Hendrick after about 56 minutes, I think it was, quite early in the second half, mm-hmm. And he brings on Dwight Gayle. And you think, great, attacking change, bringing on a striker, let's go and win this game.
Yeah.
It ends up, and you think, great tactical decision, probably the best one that Bruce has done for a while. And Dwight Gayle ends up playing what looks like central attacking midfield. He never got behind the defence. He never got in an attacking position. Like, what is, I don't understand. Like, these are, and you can maybe put some of the blame on the players and that, but like, what is going on at football club? Like, I have no idea.
Well, let's see what goes on at Newcastle, and let's see if they actually do and will be able to get out of what I think they've been sucked straight into, a proper title relegation battle. Definitely not.
Title. I think the next two games for Newcastle are massive.
Yeah, perfect. Just a quick one. Can we just change the topic to Fulham? This is not going to be a long one, as we are pushing, but Fulham, what a job they've done.
Yeah, fantastic.
Is that down to the recruitment? I personally think, my opinion, the recruitment that they did, the loan signings they've got, most of them alone.
Yeah.
The signings they've got in.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, look, let's for a team like Fulham to attract someone like Ruben Loftus-Cheek is good business.
Yeah,
someone like Ademola Lookman, who's, you know, quite a young and up and coming English winger. Yeah.
But he's experienced.
He's been around for a while. You know, Charlton, Everton, Leipzig. He's been around.
Lamina.
Lamina. I mean, I'm not sure why someone like Southampton let Lamina go, to be honest.
I'm not sure why someone like Juventus let Lamina go.
Yeah. I mean, that's obviously a bizarre decision as well.
He'd walk straight into Liverpool's team right now, that's for sure, Lamina.
Also as well, I think someone that's underrated for Southampton is Harrison Reed central midfield. I remember watching him for Southampton when he's just coming through. And I'm thinking, they've got a good player. And if you think, you know, him, James Ward-Prowse, they're coming in together, central midfield. You think you build a team around these players, and for Southampton to let someone like that go, it's you start to question that now because of how he's playing. You know, before he dropped down to the Championship, he's helped Fulham get up. But you know, if Fulham stay up, which they've got a great chance of doing the way they're playing,
I called that then last week as well.
You know, they've got some great depth, even up front. You know, they've just brought in Josh Madger in January, but then you've have people like Bobby Cordova-Reed, who's banging in some goals.
Mitrovic, who comes on and does a job. Every time he comes on, I see him do a job.
He comes on and basically Parker goes, hold the ball up, frustrate the opposition.
Get into them. And that is what Liverpool haven't got.
It's great because Scott Parker is getting the best out of his players and getting them to do the job they can do. They are being coached correctly. If you look at that, if you now compare that to Newcastle, as I said, bringing on Dwight Gayle, but not really playing him as a striker, playing him out wide. Joe Linton playing him out wide. You know, people are being played out of position. And when you play people out of position, you're not getting the best out of them. You're not going to win games. It's simple.
Quick one on Fulham. This is the last question on Fulham, and I'm going to ask you this. What are your thoughts? If Fulham stay up, do Palace have to pull the purse strings and get Scott Parker there, or do you think Eddie Howe at Palace is a better suit, and Fulham Scott Parker another season there? Because he's clearly a talented British manager. We've got a few of them at the moment as well.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, Scott Parker doesn't leave Fulham.
Doesn't leave Fulham. And do you agree that we have an Eddie Howe situation at Palace?
Yeah, I think we do. But also, yeah, he won't be the only name in the running there.
No, you got Steven Gerrard, who just won the league at Rangers.
you got Lampard.
Wouldn't go there. In my opinion, wouldn't go there.
Well, I don't think he will. But you know,
he's available.
Just because he got sacked at Chelsea, he's not a bad manager.
Not about that. Sorry, I think it's below him that job.
I mean, it's when you've managed Chelsea and you managed the Champions League, you know, it is hard to go to someone. I mean, I actually put a bet on him to be the next Bournemouth manager, and that obviously hasn't happened. But
Lampard of Bournemouth, bloody hell!
But yeah, you're probably right. You know, when you manage in the Champions League, it's hard to go below that. No,
I think you await the next Champions League. I see Lampard going abroad now.
Yeah, I think next move has to be abroad, right?
Or somewhere in Spain, somewhere with the money, maybe like Sociedad in the Champions League, somewhere like that, so he can show he can do it in Europe, just like Steven Gerrard has. But brilliant. What a job Scott Parker's done. The game finished at Anfield yesterday. Liverpool 0, Fulham 1. Fulham to stay up, and Scott Parker, for me, to win Manager of the Year. Right, topic number 6, top 4 race. And I had put the Manx Derby, so that will be the next and the final one. Right, let's do it. We've spoken a lot about relegation. Who, before we go to the top 4, quick one, Aaron, your 3 getting relegated.
3 getting relegated.
As things stand.
Sheffield United.
Yeah. West Brom.
West Brom.
Yeah.
And I said it last
time. I said it for you.
Huh? Yeah,
that's set it for you. Is it Newcastle?
Yep.
Okay.
Do you know what? Right.
I think Brighton. If I'm honest, I think you stay out.
Just quickly. How did I react the first time that Newcastle got relegated?
Villa away.
Yeah.
Hold on. Villa away. It was an own goal by Damien Duff.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not talking about that, but that, no, well,
I'm setting the scene. Alan Shearer was the manager.
All right, you don't need to put these details in, mate.
I was in the Stoke pub, which that they will be one of our sponsors coming up soon, because that is my manner. If you ever lose me, my missus knows, everyone knows. If you've lost the odds, you can't get over him, call the Stoke pub. We were in the Stoke, and I do believe I saw Aaron and his, I believe, a friend there smash pint glasses on the floor. This podcast is not... You took your top off.
Yeah, I took my top off, didn't I?
We do not incite violence, because Newcastle get relegated here at the OTT. Because that is a OTT.
But what I'm trying to say is it doesn't affect me anymore. You know, it's expected. If it happens, it happens. I'm, you know, it doesn't affect me.
It's
the way the club is run. You know, the club is toxic from its core, and
you're right.
You know,
you're right.
It doesn't affect. It doesn't affect me anymore.
The reason why. Okay, right. No more about the relegation. But yeah. Reason why I don't want Newcastle to go down, because I've got to spend the fucking summer with you. And you say no, whatever we're doing, yeah, we could play golf, but I've still got to spend it with you, and I know how depressed you'll be. And I can't deal with that. So come on, Brighton, do me a favour, get back to the Championship. Right, we've got a quick one here. Race for the top 4. I mean, I don't think Liverpool are getting top 4 anymore. Spurs, I think, is a bit out of their reach. It has to go a little bit favourable for them and for Liverpool. Arsenal completely out of it with their draw with Burnley. I think Man United, Leicester and City are there. Who gets number four? This is going to be the most exciting top four race, because like we mentioned in the previous, we're having the year where someone outside of the top six, the original top six, not staying there.
I'm going to call it here now. Leicester, for me, lose it on the final day of the season. The top four will be Man City, Man United, Chelsea,
and Everton,
and Tottenham sneak it for me.
Oh,
you had it here first.
Woo! How much you want to put a bet on that fun then, me on mucker?
Put 20 quid on that.
A 20 with me.
Yeah, with you, mate.
All right, so go then. What have we got?
20.
Oh, yeah.
On City, United, Chelsea, and Tottenham.
Okay, my 20, and this is right. The closest to their prediction wins the bet.
Okay.
City, United, Chelsea, Leicester.
Yeah.
Leicester get fourth this year. I saw a change of them the other day. Okay, so we have our predictions for that.
Yeah.
I think we got time to touch on the Manchester derby, Aaron.
Let's talk about it. So
yeah.
Pep Guardiola in his last five games at home against United, they've only won one.
Yeah. Okay. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, how many games has he played against City and won? He's played four at the Etihad.
Yeah, and he's won two of them.
He's won more. He played four at the Etihad alone.
Yeah, but I think the last four games have been two wins for United, a win for City, and a draw. Yeah, so that's two wins, I think.
So he's won, yes, but the last time, sorry. So the last time he's won four times in his career, his manager career against City.
Yeah.
So two of them are obviously at Etihad.
Yeah, two at Etihad, two at home.
And I think that's in the league you're discussing. And they had them in the cup as well, I believe.
Yeah, they have won in the cup as well, yeah.
And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer won that.
Yeah.
What's going on? I think so. I think they had him in the cup. They may not. United fans, let us know at the OTT pod.
It's interesting. It's interesting, isn't it? Because the run, how many games did Man City, was it 21 unbeaten or something like that?
21, this would have been their 22nd, I think. Something like that, yeah.
It's
They wanted to beat Jurgen Cruyff's Ajax team. I think they got 25.
Do you know what gets me about this City side is I look at the team and yeah, they're winning games and they're, you know, 21 games unbeaten, which is a fantastic run, you know. You can't deny that. But I just looked at them even yesterday's. They are crying out for a striker. You know,
City.
Yeah.
They are.
In these gritty games where, you know, Man United are organized, right? They had men behind the ball. They defend well, and they got pace on the counter, and for playing like that against a team like City, you're always going to do well. What City needed yesterday was a striker in form who could, you know, nick you a goal. You know, in the second half, Man City had four or five really good chances to score goals in about 10 minutes. Sterling had a free header. You know, a decent striker scores those goals. You know, hands down. And, you know, I've been saying it for a while now. You know, Aguero on the bench yesterday, he didn't come on. Bizarre decision. If he's fit, if he's on the bench, bring him on for the last 10 minutes. You know, there's something not right there with Aguero.
Absolutely.
There's rumours that he's gone at the end of the season. Man United deserved the win yesterday, the way they set up and the way they played.
I thought they played quite well yesterday, United. They know how to do it away against City. City, I thought they were pretty predictable.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very predictable performance. You know, Mahrez on the right hand side cutting in. You know, when you play against Mahrez, you just make sure you don't cut in on his left foot.
And Luke Shaw grabbing a goal. I mean,
yeah, it's great finish, isn't it?
That says it all, doesn't it?
But if you're a Man United fan, you know you beat City, but you must be so frustrated. You know, on Wednesday night or whatever, you draw 0-0 away to Palace. You know, it must be so frustrating. You know, they're 11 points behind City now. It's too much, you know. I think City have won the title. But
so you don't think United can have a late chance to the title? I do.
I can't see Man City losing 3 or 4 games. I can't see it.
I hate saying it, but...
But Man United, they will rue a lot of their performances this season. You know, Brighton, Crystal Palace.
Wasn't the worst performance away I've seen.
Oh, absolutely. Those are games that as a title winning side, and as Liverpool did last season, you win.
Yeah. True. Easy. I agree. I absolutely agree. Brilliant. Well, so we have a top four. We have a relegation, and we now, as Aaron has let slip, trigger happy Aaron.
Happy Aaron.
We have a guest. Next week's guest is a very dear friend of the family. He's a good friend of mine personally. It's a young Toby Ebser. He's Edsa. His father, James Ebser, lovely man. It comes from a good family. He's come from a good background. It's a shame on who he supports. We'll let him tell you.
Yeah. Next week.
What we're going to be asking him, we're going to be asking what it's like for a young footballer in this day and age with COVID that's happened, how he started out. He's played for Fulham. He's played for Nottingham Forest. He's now currently at Aldershot Town. He's been out on loan to a few other places. It's a very interesting one, this one, isn't it, Aaron?
Yeah, it is. I'm actually looking forward to it because he's played for Woking. He's now playing for Aldershot. So I want to see what it's like playing for both teams, playing in a derby. It'll be great fun.
We'll look forward to that. We hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. If you don't already, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm going to do it once more at the OTT pod. Peace out. Have a lovely week. And I look forward to seeing you next week. Of me, Arj.
And me, Aaron. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Take care.
See you later, mate. See you later. Bye.